Welcome back to the Roundtable. This semester, Natalie Zungis, a senior at Siena College, has been an intern here at WAMC, helping out behind the scenes with production work on the Roundtable, and she's been simply great. A huge help and a quick learner. Unfortunately for us, today is her last day here. The following interview is her final project.
As a society, we're eager to exercise as a means to reduce stress, build strength, lose weight, and feel better. Emerging in our wellness-focused world is the practice of hot yoga, a $27 billion industry growing in popularity. This relatively new variation of a 5,000-year-old discipline provides its practitioners with the myriad benefits of yoga while adding the detoxifying advantages of being in a hot room. Cindy Lunsford, owner of Hot Yoga Saratoga and co-owner of Lake Placid Hot Yoga, joins us now to tell us more about hot yoga. Thank you so much for having me over today and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
When in your life did you begin practicing hot yoga?
I started practicing hot yoga when I was in law school. Oh gosh, which was about probably 9 years ago. My father took me to my first hot yoga class, and that was my first yoga class in general. And I did it intermittently when I was in law school and then moved to upstate New York, and there was no hot yoga. So I quit basically practicing for about 3.5 years because I started practicing law. And then I went to the training in 2008, and that's when I've been really fully committed to practicing every day.
So why do we add the heat and the humidity to a yoga class? What are the benefits of that?
There's a lot of reasons that we add it. I think the most obvious reasons, it adds a level of detoxification and sweat. You know, it's just sort of a physical challenge that people are initially looking for when they come to a yoga class. But I think even more than that, it forces people to have a deeper level of focus in order to stay in the poses, to stay in the room, and just sort of be with all of these different elements, you know, the sweat on the face and a little bit harder to breathe. So there's a deeper level of concentration after you've practiced for a while. It also, in my experience, allows you to accomplish more in a shorter period of time. So if you get a little bit more flexibility through the heat, you're able to get deeper compressions and therefore get deeper into even your organs, massaging effect. But, you know, on the flip side of that, for some people, it can take you perhaps deeper than you're ready to go. So there has to be a level of care, you know, taken with hot yoga. People need to be really aware of their limitations and work with those as well. So there also develops a self-awareness that I think is pretty strong through the practice.
Why do you think that hot yoga has recently become this really popular way to exercise? What about it do you think has grabbed the attention of so many people?
It offers people a lot of things, a lot of bang for their buck, basically, because they're getting the meditation. Everyone's sort of looking for a spiritual practice, something that calms them. I think we live in a society that's constantly on the go. And so they're looking to kind of quiet the mind a little bit. So they seek out yoga. And then they find that with hot yoga, they also get that physical challenge that in many cases just exhausts them to the level of relaxation. There's a level of camaraderie. I try to explain this to people who don't practice hot yoga, that people who practice hot yoga, and again, this is from my experience of owning a couple of studios and, you know, having regular engagement with a lot of students. The people who practice hot yoga are very committed because they like the effects of it. So they're coming almost every single day. Whereas I know a lot of people who practice yoga outside of the heat, they're not as consistently practicing. It's oftentimes a supplement to something more rigorous that they might do, training for triathletes or swimming or running, cycling. So there's this level of camaraderie, I think, and community that develops in a lot of hot yoga studios. People, they're there every day, they're seeing the same people, and they have that common denominator of loving the practice.
So there are a few very different types of hot yoga available, which most people maybe don't know about. I think the general perception of hot yoga is that all classes are alike, and that's kind of far from the reality. So can you talk about the variety of classes you offer at your studio and the different benefits of each?
Sure. The original hot yoga was developed by Bikram Chowdhury. And people know that series as the Bikram series, the 26 poses, two breathing exercises, and the level of 105 degrees. And then I think from there, people just started to add heat to different styles, different levels of heat. So I have, for instance, two studios in my Saratoga location. And one I would call a hot studio, which ranges from 97 degrees up to 105. And then the other studio is what we would call maybe a warm studio or even a room temperature studio. And the temperature there ranges from room temperature up to 90. And basically, we add that level of heat to any style of yoga. We offer a yin yoga, which is a deep stretching, almost a restorative practice that's for the joints and the connective tissues of the body. We have sculpt, which is just movement, yoga poses with weights. We have Barkan Vinyasa, which was another series created by one of Bikram's original students, and it's a flow series. And then we have Hot Vinyasa, which changes every single day with every single teacher in class. So I think there's really something for everybody in terms of the levels of heat and the styles that we offer. But generally speaking, hot yoga just means adding heat to a yoga class.
What are the possible health risks that someone faces when they step into the hot room, and what are ways that we can prevent injury?
With health risks, I'm always going to encourage someone to see their doctor first and get the okay. We're definitely not doctors, and I wouldn't give medical advice to anybody. So if there is a pre-existing condition or a concern there, it's definitely get your doctor's approval. People with blood pressure, you know, high or low blood pressure, would definitely want to talk to their physician. There's a lot of conditions that the hot yoga is actually really, really good for. But again, it's a conversation to have with their own individual doctors. In terms of injury, it's like I said earlier, you really need to take care. You need to learn your body's limitations. And that's why that first month is so important, that you just be on the mat, you just come in the room, you just, you know, listen, you observe. You be okay with sitting down and watching people and listening to the teacher. I tell most of my students it's like a foreign language. The only way you're going to learn it is by immersion. You know, you could study it all day long, but to really, really come in the room and just be present is the best way to learn the language. Most people will tell you it's a lifetime practice for a reason. It's something that you can do your entire life. So it's not something you're going to learn in a week, and it's not something you're going to probably ever perfect.
With the presence of yoga on Instagram and other social media sites, do you think that there's a growing competitive nature to the way we approach yoga in 2015? And do you think that this kind of inevitable comparison is ultimately beneficial? Or do you think that it can be inhibitive for new students and for practicing students? Do you think it can be discouraging?
I think there's probably two sides to it. We live in a social media driven world now, so it's just, I guess, a necessary evil in some ways. For me as a business owner, it's a form of free marketing. So I think that's the most obvious reason people are using it, even as yoga teachers, that they're trying to get their name out there to basically land employment. So in that way, it makes a lot of sense. I think there's also, in many things that I've seen in social media, especially with yoga posts, there's a whole level of inspiration and like just a slew of ideas from a yoga teacher standpoint. I've built classes around pictures I've seen or maybe classes that I've viewed on social media. So I think there is definitely a positive element to it. On the flip side of that, I think for many new students, and I've heard them say this to me, that when they've seen things on Instagram or Facebook, they felt really intimidated and they felt like there was no way they could ever do the things that they were looking at. So I think it can probably drive some people away from ever even trying it. I also think there are a lot of people that are using it out there as a means to sort of create a little bit of judgment, maybe some dogmatism. And I think there just needs to be a fine line between, or I think there is a fine line rather, between encouraging people, you know, giving ideas and offering even suggestions versus, you know, telling people that they're making bad choices, that they're doing the wrong thing. So that you just have to be careful with what you witness and what you view on Instagram and take it with a grain of salt.
Just lastly, do you have any advice for how people can start to get involved in yoga if they've never done it before and they're looking to? Where do you think the best starting place is?
Just go to the studio, any studio, hot yoga, not hot yoga, the YMCA, you know, the local gym, wherever they're offering it. You know, I get phone calls all the time and people with a list of questions, and I tell them I could talk about this, and you and I could sit here and talk about this all day. You're probably as passionate as I am about this. But it's until you get into the room and until you start practicing, until you really feel it in your body, I don't really think anyone could explain it, you know. And then I tell them if they have questions after that. I mean, because then it's a trajectory of things that will start to happen. You know, first it starts with the physical asana, and then people start to feel different things, and they just come back. They don't even know why. So really, the only advice I could offer is just show up. Just be on the mat and be very, very patient and continue to practice diligently for the first month or so, regardless of what that first or second or third experience might be like. But just show up constantly for the first month or so.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me and having me over, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Natalie. It was a pleasure.
Cindy Lunsford, owner of Hot Yoga Saratoga and co-owner of Lake Placid Hot Yoga. I'm Natalie Zunges, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.